distinct natural characteristics. C, essence implies being and existence, and so refers to the qualities and or attributes of God. That he has essence, he has character, he has a particular nature, and those natures have certain qualities or attributes. D, the glory of God often refers to his essence or some specific attribute of his essence. Again, the Romans 1:23 verse, exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. And in 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. God's glory. There, obviously, his glory is characterized by his absolute righteousness. So he, his inherent glory, looks to the manifestation of his essence or some aspect of it as being clearly revealed. If God revealed himself in a physical way, it would be as light. Light that we could not survive being exposed to it in such a physical, temporal body. Revelation 21, verses 10 through 11. In the New Jerusalem, he carried me away, John, by the angel, in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. As we know, in the New Jerusalem, there is no need of a sun, because the Father and Son will reside in it. They will provide the light. So you can imagine the New Jerusalem. It will be in the new creation, light as the sun is to us today. And then verse 23, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. So their glory is the essence manifested of their persons. So F, God possesses all the attributes of his essence at all times. Yet, not all are necessarily manifested at the same time. Say not necessarily, they may be. G, the essence of God is composed of his attributes that we break down to 10 in number, and the characteristics that are inherent in him by virtue of those attributes. The attributes demand that he obviously act, react, do things in a certain way. Our natural nature is we have two arms, two legs. We usually walk on our legs, things of this nature. So with God, he has attributes, and they make up his essence in that regards. So H, or they describe it. H, that God is perfect and self-existing in person and actions. His essence is absolute as to his character, nature, and existence. God indeed is perfect. Therefore, he cannot, does not learn, is not, if you will, growing, expanding, things of this nature. If he's changing in any way, then he's not perfect. Deuteronomy, he's self-existing. There's nothing that he relies upon for his own eternal life. Deuteronomy 32:4. God called the rock that which is immovable, if you will, solid. His work is perfect. God doesn't make errors. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't learn trial by error. See? Everything is created perfectly. Any imperfection comes about by the state of the thing created through the principle or avenue of free will. For all his ways are just. We just saw his righteousness and justice that we are to emulate, we are charged with to follow so we can have maximum blessing by God. His justice is completely and totally fair. A God of faithfulness without injustice. His faithfulness is immutability. We'll see that. Righteous and upright is he. This all in the most absolute, perfect state. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, blameless, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple. God's justice, his righteousness, is reflected through the law. See? And that indeed is perfect in all aspects, no matter what issues man may have with it otherwise. Does it make any difference that people want to cater to juvenile delinquents? The law says a kid rebels against their parents, talks bad about them, smack. Get them out of society. Execute them. The law is perfect. See? God's not making any mistakes, but men, they're all wrapped around the axle. Isaiah 25:1. If they're old enough to engage in a crime, they're old enough to be punished as any person would be, no matter their age, that would be involved in that crime. This minor thing, that's a law of man. You don't find that in the law, the Mosaic law. Oh, kids under 18, put them in juvenile detention for a while and then let them out and run amok again. No. They kill somebody, kill them back and see who wins. See? Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, his reputation. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Absolute faithfulness. He designed it, devised it, created it, and he will see it through. See? James 1:17, New Testament. Everything which is good, bestowed in every perfect gift, which is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. I, his essence, therefore cannot be improved upon nor diminished in any way. What he is what he is. It's not changing. Everybody tries to change him through their own mind, but God doesn't change. It's the same God in the Old Testament, it's the same God in the New Testament. You know, I heard that growing up. But things are different in the Old Testament. God, it's a different God in the Old Testament. No, it's not. Just because you don't see things being recorded in Scripture, you might be surprised if things were being recorded, certain cataclysmic things that have occurred in history since the completion of the New Testament. You know, maybe it was by the hand of God, and if it was recorded in Scripture, it would state that. But we, you know, people don't recognize it because they see it as a natural phenomenon. Like they might in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah. How would they record that? If God hadn't recorded it for us to tell us that exactly it came from God, you know, they would try to write it off probably as a natural phenomenon only. God can use his creation, but he is behind it. All right, Roman numeral 3. Now we'll look at the divine attributes. I can remember where I got them at on here. I'll pull them up for us. The divine attributes of God. A, the divine attributes are divided into 10 categories. With appropriate subdivisions. Obviously, attributes can be further dissected, such as his omniscience, of all knowing, recognizing that he foresees, for instance. As we just got through looking at, he also, in his omniscience, contemplates and considers. B, they are qualities that are inherent in God and are objectively real. Just as we understand these concepts as being real within our own existence of life, love, being faithful, things of that nature. See, while these attributes exist at all times, no one of God's attributes functions alone or at the expense of any other attribute. In other words, they make up the sum total of God and operate coordinating with each other in their attributes. One doesn't run off and operate apart from the function of his arm doesn't take off and leave his body and his leg behind. So they're together. He operates as one in this respect. D, the attribute of righteousness. His righteousness is the one of which all other attributes must check their function. No attribute can violate God's righteousness. We recognize his righteousness as being absolute. Hence, we call it plus R. Plus R. His righteousness, if you will, is the watchdog of all the function of his other attributes, of the function of his essence in whole.
He cannot do anything to violate his moral perfection. So the attribute of righteousness is one of which all the attributes must check their function. Nothing can be done that is in conflict with righteousness. The watchdog of God's essence. It makes sure, ensures that he remains perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. See? They are divided into two groups of five. You have the moral attributes and the non-moral attributes. And by non-moral, we don't mean that they're simple. It's just that they are physically, if you will, construed or perceived. So here on our list, obviously, we show the attributes not necessarily in their categories of five. The sovereignty is love, eternal life, righteousness, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, his veracity, and then his justice. So we'll begin with the non-moral attributes. One, first, his sovereignty. His sovereignty. This term defines the fact and nature of God's volition. God has will. We recognize his will. He has will for his... He has determination in regards to everything around him. And it's known as his sovereignty. Since God possesses volition, he makes decisions, plans, policies, etc., just as we saw in the restoration scenario of Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That shows his sovereign determination, his sovereign will being expressed. Verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us. See, his self-determining decision. See, due to his nature, he has no rivals. As he exercises supreme power and rule over everyone and everything. Yet the nature of negative volition is they will challenge his power. There is nothing outside his jurisdiction. Absolute control. Even the lake of fire, Sheol, Hades, he controls all that. It's not outside his jurisdiction. Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Showing the total, complete, vast realm, heavens and earth, that God has jurisdiction over and controls. Psalm 83:18. That they may know that you alone, whose name is Yahweh, the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. He reigns supreme. There is nothing that can claim authority or power or rule over God. Even though, again, men and others challenge that and attempt to do otherwise. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigns. That is an expression of His sovereignty. He determines all things in the jurisdiction of the realm of His creation. He is clothed with majesty. that looks at His omnipotence, His power. Lowered His clothes and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. D, as the absolute authority in the universe, He alone possesses authority as a part of His essence. He by nature, is the authority. He's God. He alone possesses authority, set point D, as a part of His essence, which He may or may not exercise as He sees fit. He's perfect. Yeah, it should be as He sees fit. That's what you want. See, you want that which is perfect to make the decisions. Job 34. You go to a doctor, you want one that is perfect. Makes the right decisions for you, do you not? Well, so it is with God. If you find one, let me know. Call me up. Job 34:13. Who gave Him, God, authority over the earth, gave man, who has laid on Him the whole world. Or who gave Him, that's God, authority over the earth. The question is rhetorical. No. He naturally assumes it as His creator. Who has laid on Him the whole world? If He should determine to do so, if He should gather to Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. All you have to do is will it. We could be annihilated. In regards to our existence. All other authorities, human and angelic, are delegated by God. He is behind all authority. His very essence of authority states unequivocally how much emphasis He places on authority. See? Hence the importance of acclimation and orientation in our own lives in this respect. Daniel 4. Verses 17, 32, and 35. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, those who observe creation, the human race, throughout history. And the decision is the command of the Holy Ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. It shows their subjection and role in regards to honoring and exalting God as the supreme authority. Verse 32. You will be driven away from mankind, your dwelling place, in regards to Nebuchadnezzar. It will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grassy like cattle under the judgment of Bovinism. Seven periods of time will pass over until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. Even the ruler of the most powerful nation of the world is subject to God. Is subject to God. And bestows up on whomever He wishes. People may not like it, but He still bestows it. Whether it's a Kennedy, whether it's a Lincoln, whether it's an Obama, or whether it's a Trump, He bestows it, see. And therefore, all of us should have that kind of respect. I understand people's opinion. For whatever reason, people don't like somebody. But I have never seen such disregard for authority as what's going on in our country right now. Really, it's just despicable. It just shows you how low life our society has become. I've never seen, and I guarantee you, the media is behind it. They're pushing it. See, and you can see why. Because He gave them the middle finger coming in. He's not going to put up with their stuff. So they're trying to attack Him the way they can. No. And I'm not saying I'm for him or against him. You don't know who I voted for, or even if I did vote. That's none of your business. But either way, until he moves to Dodd-Franklin law or whatever it is, I do not support any candidate. But maybe he'll get it done. Who knows? The Johnson law, that's what it was. Lyndon B. Johnson put it in place, even though Eisenhower was the one that got the groundwork set for it. You want to lose your tax-exempt status. 35, there I go with that again. Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and the armies of heaven. And among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Why did you do this? Why would God do this? That kind of question. Well, one thing you can take to the bank, he did it because he felt like it. He doesn't have feelings. But in that sense, emotions. But he's God, and you don't question that aspect of it. Obviously, we can wonder, you know, what's the circumstances and things of that nature. But the adjusted believer recognizes God's hands in everything. And however unfair it may seem on the surface, the innocent, etc., God's not making any mistakes, that's for sure. Then Romans 13, 1 through 7, primary passage that declares God's expectation of us in our own obedience to civil authority. Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities. We need to make that choice, determine that we are going to obey the laws of the land, including as it may apply on your job, your authorities there, school, at home, and civil otherwise. For there is no authority except from God. Even the worst, God is in control. And those authorities are there for a reason. And those which exist are established by God. He made sure all circumstances, situations in place for that particular individual to walk into the and assume that position of authority. Therefore, he who resists authority. So God is the underwriter of all authority. He is the promoter, the hand that makes it happen. So your attitude towards authority directly reflects your attitude towards God. And that's verse 2. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. This is what he has determined through his sovereignty to establish in regards to mankind. That is a chain of command. See? And they who oppose will receive, reap the penalty, condemnation upon themselves. Authority is given power for a reason. And that is to ensure to the best that mankind is capable of having an SDA, to ensure an environment acceptable for peace-loving types of people, non-aggressors, to exist in as free and harmonious environment as possible. And obviously, we're dealing here with a civil authority of Rome at that time in history, which was not always, if you will, democratic. Democracy. Even my attitude has changed. I used to think how great democracy is. But when you look at the end result of what it does to our country, it kind of makes you question that. At least it does me. But anyway. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. We're supposed to be a republic anyway. But anyway, that's all under attack. Do you want to have no fear of authority? the question is presented as ludicrous. To not have fear, you know, a big SCA thing among the younger crowd of societies. No fear. You better start learning some fear. Begin with a fear of God, then have a fear, a proper fear, respect of authority. Not sin fear, but respect. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. And here, obviously, he's dealing with this on a corporate level. If you do what is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. Looking at capital punishment as his presented in the law and designed to be passed down upon nations, civil authorities to execute it in their own right upon societies. Capital punishment for certain sins, for certain crimes. Does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is the minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. The consequences can be steep, depending on the crime. But also, you got to live with yourself, see, conscience sake. If you don't have a conscience, you seared it, well, no big deal for you. For because of this, you also pay taxes, one that usually gets under everybody's skin. The Jews, I mean, God set it up to have judges rule over the land. That was the system. That was the best system that God set up for Israel, was a system of judges. Simply let certain types with doctrinal insight carry out the dictates of the law, incorporate into your society, and exist in this way. And the only tax that they actually paid was tithing at that point in time for support of the Levitical priesthood. But they, no, had to be like everybody else and had to have a king. See, well, God turns this into, obviously, a good thing for them, but only through the person of Jesus Christ. And, of course, once they got their kings, well, there goes your taxes. There goes your taxes. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. The accountants are appreciating me today, as we're on that season again. Custom to whom custom. You're in a foreign land. You better know what their laws are. Don't be stupid and ignorant and walk in and think you can be your obnoxious American citizen self when you walk into an Arab country. Better not. Because the bleeding hearts will scream and cry because the kid got caned or whatever, you know. Even when you do battle, you have that respect. We learned certain customs when I was overseas. And as a military, we were expected to respect that. First cousins, they pull a gun on you, shoot them. That's the first custom. Just kidding, never mind. Not with me, I'll leave that alone. Custom whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Respect, see. You want to go to North Korea and visit? Well, you better have fear of their dictator. You better respect it, see. And then the media, the bleeding heart media, somebody goes over there and does something stupid. And they cry, not, you know, inhumane. It's not your business. It's their nation. The only thing we got to do is keep our eyes on them, make sure that they don't, you know, become an aggressor nation, as they have shown to be in the past, and keep them at bay. They probably will be again one of these days. Honor to whom honor. So all authorities established by God, they're delegated by God. F, he is said to be king of heaven and earth. He indeed is sovereign over the entire realm of creation. Psalm 47:2. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Hebrews 8:1. Now the main point in what has been said concerning the things that have been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Christ in ascension, glorification, right now, seated to where the Father chooses to manifest himself in the third heaven at his right hand. That's where he's at right now. And he's waiting for all the players to get in their proper positions to be a footstool for his person. When he gets up, the world better be ready, but they won't be. Only those who are adjusted to Bible doctrine will be ready, truly. See. Revelation 4, 2 and 3. Immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was standing in heaven, one sitting on the throne. John giving insight, a visual into the actual third heaven. Phenomenal. And he was sitting, was like a jasper stone, a sardius in appearance. There's a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Maybe he'll get in just for making a rainbow their emblem. How dare you mock me, the New Agers. Among others. G, God's sovereignty allows for human and angelic volition to adjust or maladjust to his decisions. He's sovereign. It's up to you whether or not you want to orient to that, embrace that, or reject it or rebel against it. H, it is God's sovereign will for all men to make the salvation adjustment and the maturity adjustment. This is what he desires for men to do, to recognize the need for salvation and to exercise faith in Christ, phase one, as well as making the maturity adjustment, phase two, and serve God otherwise. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Great. I tape my pages together. It's hanging on by a thread. One thing that I ever dread is have to replace my Bible that I've had for 30 years, 35 years. Probably many of you recognize or appreciate that. Weighs about 5 pounds heavier from the tape than it used to. Let's see, where am I? 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that is part of his sovereign decision for men. The four applications as we further dissect his sovereignty, his will. Four applications of divine sovereignty include: one, his directive will, what he wants us to think, say, and do, as we would say, what he desires for us as expression of his sovereignty. Two, God has permissive will. That's what he allows or tolerates allowing good to coexist alongside evil in history. Eventually that will be separated for all eternity. Otherwise, recognizes the existence of volition among higher creation. So God permits things, but He still controls things simply from the very act of permitting. So He sovereignly determined to create free will. Three, God has overruling will, which we again been dealing with in Genesis. And that's God's intervention in judgment when His directed will has been spurned. God's grace goes a long ways. Thankful. Sometimes it may seem almost immeasurable, but it can be measured. And when His grace is trounced upon enough and saturates in violation enough by man, God intervenes and He overrules the direction, actions, etc. that is being taken, spurning His directed will otherwise. Whether it be on a personal level or on a corporate, national, or international level. We're going, mankind's going to be seeing a lot of His overruling will start coming into effect one of these days. They're running around free as a bird in their own mind, doing what they can get away with, etc. And God doesn't care, you know, blah, blah, blah. But one of these days, they're going to start seeing His overruling will in ways that is almost beyond our scope of understanding. That's during the tribulational period. And He's going to start hammering. He's going to hammer hard. And people are still going to stay blind and reject Him. And He will eventually completely and totally overrule all evil set up by Satan and the Antichrist and the cosmic world otherwise, and essentially wipe out all unbelievers, check them out, send them to death in one fell swoop. He'll sweep them away, dividing the unbelievers from the believers. And history will once again find itself in a situation with nothing but believers on this planet. Just as it started with Adam and Eve, as it occurred in regards to Noah and his family, and as it will occur in regards to the millennium. And another 1,000 years down the line, another cleanse has to happen. For then God has geographical will. Obviously, that's where God wants us to be, in recognition of one's right shepherd, their ministry, etc. A will that is so often disregarded in regards to Christians and not even understood in that respect. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.